There's your little Lenny Kravitz. Are you going to go my way? You're listening to Money Talks. I'm Troy Harmon here with Casey Smith and Jarrett McKenzie. Guys, we've been talking about passive versus active management. Our good friend Bill Murray got us kind of on the subject. And we've already covered a couple of major issues going with a passive strategy. When you invest in a passive manner, you wind up participating in the buy high, sell low kind of mentality, which is just totally backwards from what an investor would like to do. As well as, you know, as I pointed out before, you buy both the good and the bad. So you buy the high quality, but you temper it with the low quality as well, which gets again to your point, KC, about a risk-adjusted return and really what we probably ought to be measuring ourselves by.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what kind of got us on this subject, other than it was spurred on by our good friend Bill Murray's question, was an article that we ran across from Proactive Advisor Magazine. This is by a gentleman by the name of Dave Walton, who is a hedge fund manager in California. But he wrote an article, and the title of the article is, Should Clients Really Want to Beat the Market? So, Jerry, what do you think about that? How do you answer
It's pretty
that?
Interesting.
You Everybody know, I mean, wants to win. Let's
right,
face it, guys.
Right. Exactly. I mean that seems like a toss-up, right? I mean, that's a question everybody would want to say absolutely yes to. But
let's face it. If you're investing passively, you will never beat the market.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, and even us as investment advisors, we want to beat the market, right? That's sort of how we measure ourselves and how we're doing. And so,
but what,
you know,
what kind of question do you need to ask yourself if you want to beat the market?
That's right. How much risk am I taking in order to do that? Because, you know, if you're taking on excessive risk in order to achieve that, then you're also jeopardizing this nest egg, most likely, that you've got, and they're saving for retirement. And so while obviously your objective is to grow that to the best of your ability, if you do so by taking on a lot of risk, you're also putting that at risk. You're jeopardizing that same money that is supposed to last you for that, you know, better part, second half of your life.
Yeah, and even along those same lines, as Troy mentioned earlier, investors in general and human beings in general, I would say, are risk averse. Mm-hmm. So what tends to happen, and they're also not driven by purely rational decision making, I think we can all agree,
right.
The financial textbooks may not, but in practice, human beings make irrational decisions all the
Absolutely.
Time. And so when you're following
even when we know that there is the possibility to make an irrational decision,
exactly.
We're all still so fallible, you can't get over yourself to make the best decision every time.
And as an example of that, you know, when the market falls, you know, the general reaction with the irrational reaction is to try to take your money off the table because you don't know. It might be going to zero. Who knows?
Right.
You panic.
Yep.
And this is even more magnified, I guess, when you are following a more volatile strategy. So if you're taking on more risk in order to try to achieve a higher rate of return, there's going to be periods when your assets fall below what the market is doing,
right.
Or what a more conservative strategy would be. And so the tendency in just behavioral finance would be to pull some money off the table, if not all of the money.
Yeah.
And what happens then is that most of the time we found that when the market has a huge decline, soon after that is when you're going to have a huge recovery.
Right.
And studies have shown that if you miss, you know, the 10 best days in the market, you can miss out of over two-thirds or half of your return just by missing the 10 best days over, that's like a 10-year period, I think.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean,
they've got studies that show you even over a longer period of time. And to your point, Casey, usually when you have the big downturn, the big upturn is usually within a week or so.
Right.
I mean, we have huge reversals on a daily basis. So what we generally do, I mean, what do? We use 10-year rule
exactly.
to keep us away from that type of volatility and risk.
And it's served
to
us,
keep people invested all the time.
Right. That served us well through these prior downturns we've seen in the past 20 years or so, right? I mean, this is a strategy that Dr. Gene employed back in the late 80s when he started our firm, and it's something that has now been time-tested and that we still rely on to this day to help offset this concern that KC had brought up with, you know, worrying about even having to sell a stock during a downturn. While that might be hard to stomach, if you have no reason to do so and have made a good investment decision based on the research that you or your advisor has done, then there's still some viability to that investment and no reason that you should act irrationally in that manner. But, of course, that's very behavioral and not everyone is going to do that.
Well, and that's one of the arguments for having an advisor in the first place, in my opinion. I mean, a lot of people, could you do this on your own? Sure. I mean, it's not,
right.
There's nothing that's overly complicated about, you know, picking,
especially
solid
in these markets.
Right? Yeah. Right. And I mean, you can even with a passive strategy, you know, you can easily go out and buy the S&P 500 through an ETF and just sit on it and hold it, you know, indefinitely and you might be okay. But you got to have some measure in place to keep yourself from making an irrational decision that's going to hurt you in the long run.
So if you had someone say then, okay, you're right, maybe I don't want to beat the market because I don't want to jeopardize my portfolio, but what do you mean by risk-adjusted return? What should I do then in order to protect my assets but still achieve a growth rate that's going to be necessary for me to achieve my goals?
Yeah, well, the second part of that is all really financial planning driven. I mean, in our opinion, because we'd like to make sure that you have a plan in place, and that will give us some idea of what type of return do you actually need to make sure that your goals are being achieved.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, it's a realistic rate of return that you can assume. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to go out and earn 15% a year. You know, yeah. You might be able to get away with a 6% return.
And that's something our plans will tell us, right?
Absolutely. And we don't necessarily want to go chasing a return more than you actually need because of that risk factor.
Right.
Casey, back to your point about the reason that you need a financial planner. Let me ask you something. I mean, you guys service accounts all the time. Phone rings. You know, there's probably, we could go back and look at the statistics, but when does your phone ring most often?
When the market is dropping like a rock.
That's when everybody wants to talk to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the point of that is they need a little consolation. They need to know really what's behind these numbers. What do the fundamentals show?
Yeah.
Is the market falling apart for a reason or no reason? There's a lot of folks that will tell you that the market's rational. Do you guys believe that?
Absolutely not.
No. It is kind of. There's a lot of noise. We can go back and look at long-term average.
Trends and things like longer-term
price ratios.
You could make the argument that it behaves rationally over a long period of time. But in the short run, I mean, you've seen it with the election, the day of the election. Is it rational for the market? There's no reason for the market
sell
to
off
drop
huge the night of.
To have a 1,200-point swing in one day.
It's the investor that's acting irrationally. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, as long as we've got human beings that are driving the stock market, we're going to always have this kind of irrational behavior by the market itself. It's a factor of humanity. It's just the way we act.
I would argue that's the primary reason you would engage an advisor. You want that. You need to remove that emotional attachment that is present because you're managing your own money, presumably before you were engaging someone.
We're all emotional about our own money.
Oh, and absolutely. We've
all got advisors here, even though we are advisors.
Yep.
You know, we don't manage our own money because we don't feel like that's the smartest decision. Because I mean, I've got the tendency to pull money off the table when I see the market falling, and
it's hard to watch.
Exactly. Yeah, it is.
It's not only hard to watch, but as you said
and
earlier, it's
better.
Hard to time.
Yeah.
We know that, you know, pulling money off the table will often make you miss out on big up days. So again, you know, we kind of hide behind the 10-year rule. If you can, if you don't need the money, it should probably be invested in equities. We can look at numbers, go back to 1925, and see that over that period of time, in a 10-year rolling periods, the market average return is about 10.5%. It's 10.4, I think, to be more precise. But we're talking about a time when we had, 29 was the market crash, the Great Depression. We had stagflation in the 70s. We've seen the recent downturn. It's all still fresh in our minds.
Yeah.
So the market has overcome a lot of things and still has that kind of an average return.
Well, I would say this as an advisor here at Hensler, that is certainly something that helps me sleep at night, knowing that I don't have to come in the next day and know that the strategy is going to change. It is something that's gotten us through the past 30 years, and it's something that, regardless of the economic environment that is before us or coming up, I'm sure that it'll
It's absolutely time tested, and you know, go ask our clients that have been around since the basement, and they'll tell you.
Yep, absolutely. So, guys, last question of the show is always: market up or down next week? KC.
Let's go up.
Man, the way it's ending this week, I got to say it's going to pull back a little bit.
Wow, that's Jerry McKenzie, guys.
I'm changing it up.
Troy Harmon, the broken record. I'm always going to tell you that the market's going up. Statistics tell me that. Come on, guys.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.